Good morning. We'll take up the resurrection this morning. At the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord told Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he said that in such a way as he said, "I am the resurrection." There's a resurrection of the just, resurrection of the unjust, and so on. But what I'd like to take up this morning is the resurrection of the spiritual body of Christ. And for all who are believers, we know that we are the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus. And in order for us to have strong consolation and to have a good hope through grace, we need to find that our salvation is not of ourselves. For we are of time, we are sinful creatures. We love to lie to ourselves. And we tell ourselves all kinds of stories as pleasing to ourselves. But we need to find something in the Word of God as the anchor to our soul. And with that in mind, I'd like to begin our scripture readings by reading from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 through 20. So if you want to turn there and read with me, I hope that you will. I hope that you will read through all these scriptures with me this morning as we go through them, so that you can see for yourself what the scriptures say. Hebrews 6:16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible that God, for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now our Lord said, I am the resurrection. Now he being the resurrection and having risen, what hope have we that we arose in him? Let us go through some of the biblical text and find wherein we may believe that we have an interest in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll begin in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 is what I meant to say. where he says, and hath put all things under his feet, that is, the Father has put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, if we can find our union with Christ from everlasting in the Scripture, if we can determine that the Scriptures teach that we have union with Christ from old eternity, then we can have good hope that we had a part in his resurrection. then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Our Lord Jesus Christ, being the head of the body, is all things to his people. He is their wisdom, their righteousness, their sanctification, and redemption. But of him, that is, of God the Father, are ye, believers, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now the relation that Christ Jesus bears to all his people, whether Old Testament or New Testament saints, is based upon the will of God. look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verses 9 and 10. Then said he, that is the Lord Jesus, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He takes away the first covenant, that he may establish the second, which is actually the everlasting covenant. But in time, and as presented to us, the Old Testament covenant came first, but it was founded upon the everlasting covenant. He taketh away the first that he may establish. He taketh away the first priesthood, the priesthood after the order of Aaron, and he establishes the second, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is after the order of Melchizedek, who is the priest forever. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, so that Christ's priesthood has been from everlasting. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will? That is the will of God. Back in verse 9. By the which will we are sanctified or set apart in Jesus Christ through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Now, the translators added for all. And if you want to put all in there, that's all who are in him, all the elect, all who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Now look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now, the reason they believe is because they were birthed of the Spirit. They were born again of the Holy Ghost, and therefore they believe. We do not believe in order to be born again, but we believe because we are born again. Faith is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So God gives us to believe, and because we are born again, we believe. Faith and all the functions of spiritual life require spiritual life. The dead can't see the kingdom of God. The dead can't hear the gospel. And the dead have no understanding heart to understand the things of the Spirit of God. So life is a prerequisite to all things. And the Holy Spirit comes and gives us life. And then we believe, we repent, and we do all the things that life that is given us is connected with. For all of those things come from the life that he puts within us. John 12 and 13, But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is, but they were born of the will of God. So there's another testimony that the faith of believers is based upon the purpose of God, which he purposed in himself before the world was. Another scripture is James 1:18. James 1:18. Of his own will, that is, of God's will, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth is that seed that is planted in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings eternal life, which is our life. Now, we're looking at our assurance that our salvation is of the Lord and not of ourselves. If it's of ourselves, it's fickle, it's temporary, it may last and it may not. Well, there's no question that it won't if it's of us. But if it's of God, it is everlasting, for he is everlasting. It's of an eternal nature. It's absolute and irrevocable. If it's according to the will of God. In the Psalms, in the expression of the everlasting covenant of grace, God swore by his holiness that Christ Jesus and his people would endure forever. Then in the New Testament, he said, He that endureth to the end, same shall be saved. Well, there, enduring to the end is simply the evidence that we are the children of God. In Psalm 89, he said, They will endure. Therefore, those who do endure are those who he was speaking of in the 89th Psalm. So let's read the Psalm 89, verses 34 through 37. Psalm 89, verses 34 through 37. Now this is the Father, or God in his Trinity of persons. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn that by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Now his seed are his people, those who were given him the covenant of grace from everlasting, and his throne is his dominion, his kingdom. That his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heavens, Salah. So God has sworn by his holiness that Christ and his people or his seed shall endure forever. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, we were given a part in that everlasting covenant. We were made recipients of its benefits before the foundation of the world. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians says, but we are bound to give thanks to God for you always, for God hath from the beginning chosen you. He chose particular individuals to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now, he calls some people to be preachers and so on, and pastors and apostles, but the election of grace, the whole and entire body of Christ Jesus, are called to salvation, are called and ordained to eternal life. Acts 13:48. So that our calling and our being chosen is to salvation. Then we're given a portion in the covenant of grace according to 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. And then look at Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, 16. Now, God has sworn in the everlasting covenant that Christ and his seed shall endure forever. And in order to establish that, look at what he says here in Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise, that is the promises made in the everlasting covenant, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to all and every man of Adam's generation, but to all the seed of Christ. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, another scripture in this same line is Hebrews 9:15. If you want to turn to that, Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, his cross death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Those who are called are the children of the covenant, are the children of God, his elect, his family. Then in Galatians 3, Galatians 3:16-29. I'm still seeking to establish that our salvation is anchored in God and not in ourselves. It's according to his purpose, his program. It is God who has determined the salvation of his elect or his chosen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now that's his spiritual seed. That's the spiritual seed of Abraham, which are believers. Galatians 3, 7. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now remember in 89th Psalm that he swore to whom he called David there, but it's looking at Christ. He's the son of David. He swore to him that he and his seed should endure forever. And he says here that the promise was not made to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And then down in verse 29, he says, and if you be Christ, or if you're believers, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. So the promise that we should be, that we are heirs of the covenant of God was made by the Holy Spirit, was made by God and testified to in the Galatian epistle. Now, to assure the fruition of his promise, or to assure that God's promise to Christ and his people would come to pass, God sanctified or set apart his family or the remnant according to the election of grace, Romans 11:5. He set them apart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them which are sanctified by God the Father. In other words, they are set apart, chosen unto salvation by God the Father in his eternal decree of election. They're sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. They're kept safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're members of his body. He said in the 139th Psalm, he said, you knew all my members when as yet there were none of them. And he wrote them in his book. They are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. They are preserved there for safekeeping. Look at 1 Corinthians to the same point as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified or set apart in Jesus Christ, called to be saints with all that in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, The Father, having chose his family in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, set them apart in Jesus Christ for safekeeping. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1:27, we are the members in particular of the body of Christ. And in Colossians 1:18, he says, let me turn there. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he should have the preeminence. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. The head and the body are in union together, and the body is preserved in union with the head. Now look at Romans 12. Romans 12:5. So we being many members are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. There's one church, one Lord, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's all who are in Christ Jesus. Now, resurrection presupposes a death. If there is to be a resurrection, there has already been a death. And the children of God, along with all the rest of the race, fell into death and sin in Adam. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die. Now when Adam sinned and died, all his posterity died in him. And we all sinned in him because we were all joined to him. All his seed was in him. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now we died without personal action in a first federal head. And we are saved without personal action in a second federal head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, believing is action. Repentance is action, but those are actions that are given us as gifts of the covenant. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him, that is Christ, hath God exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. So, everyone who repents, everyone who has repentance, or everyone who is repentant of their sins, it is because God has given them that repentance. And look at... And I haven't looked these scriptures up, but look at 2 Timothy. And I'm not sure, maybe 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Well, anyway, let me see here. 2 Timothy 2:25, I think, is where I want to be. Second Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There again, that scripture tells us that repentance is the gift of God, and those who repent have been given that gift of God. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So there are the two covenant heads. Covenant head of nature, Adam. And the covenant head of the spiritual kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called in this scripture, the last Adam. Now, the first Adam was made a living soul. He derived his life from God. God gave him his life. But the last Adam, and it's in parentheses, that was made. Well, that's added by the translators. He was not made. He has ever been. The last Adam is a quickening spirit. He is the source and fountain of life. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it is by that life of the Lord Jesus that we're able to see. So we're born into this world as far as we know. And that is, I mean it by experience, by our experiences, as much as we know. We have interest only in the first Adam. Of course, all these things are learned as we go through this world. But according to the purpose of God, and secret to him, or secret to us, but known of him, is whether or not we have an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when we're born in this world, we're born under sin and death in Adam. And we must be delivered from that through knowledge of the truth. Now look at Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Well, that's talking about Adam. Now, we all died in Adam. Adam transgressed, and we all transgressed in him, and fell under the curse of the law in Adam, though we had no personal activity in it. We didn't do anything to fall, but we fell in our first covenant head. We fail without personal action. Now look at look back at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, death reigned over all the race of men, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, there three things there that we should look at in that last part. Much more they that receive abundance of grace. That means much more those who have an interest in the covenant of grace. Those who are graced in the covenant. Those whom God justifies by the blood of his dear Son. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's by grace are you saved. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9 again. So, grace is first given to us. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now, righteousness comes to us. Righteousness was established for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Daniel 9:24, that was one of the things that he was to do when he came into this world, was to establish everlasting righteousness. Now, God requires absolute perfect righteousness of all those who will be and have to do with him in a way of fellowship. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the righteousness of God comes by faith. And faith is completely the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if we make faith something you perform or something you generate, then it's a work. And it's not of grace. But faith is a gift of God received based on no merit of our own, but on the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, and based on our interest in the covenant of grace according to the will of God from all eternity. So that if we look for our good hope through grace, our good hope through grace is established in the will of God and not in anything in ourselves. In time, God visits us when we're dead in trespasses and sin and imparts life. Ezekiel 16:5, the infant in its blood is a picture of us sitting in our blood and death. And the Lord passed by and says to us, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live. And with life comes a new heart and a new spirit. And that new spirit, new heart and new spirit causes us to walk in the statutes of the Lord and do them. So those who... Let me read Romans 5:17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Now under the law it says, the man that doeth them shall live in them. And what is that? That's righteousness. He that doeth righteousness. Well, what is it to do righteousness? Well, it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. We're saved by that God-given faith whereby we understand that we have an interest in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and an interest in his blood that cleanses us from all sin and an interest in his finished work that he performed while he was here on earth in our room instead. He was the substitute and surety of his people, and all that he did, all that he suffered, all his thoughts, everything about him is imputed to his people. And in the reckoning of heaven, all that Christ Jesus accomplished, his church and people accomplished in him and with him, even unto death. Now, after we have been taught of our interest in the everlasting covenant of grace and of our interest in the blood of Christ and of our interest in his death, then by that life that is given us in the birth of the Spirit, we have the ability to hear our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verses 27 through 30. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice." Well, dead men can't hear. And even though the sheep of God, until the Holy Spirit comes along and gives us life, we don't hear. But after he has given us life, given us a new heart and a new spirit, made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, alive unto God, then we can hear his voice. And we know his voice when we hear it by his spirit that dwells in us. He is the spirit of truth, and he witnesses to the truth. And so that when the elected, redeemed, and regenerated children of God hear the truth, they know it. But he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, the Father has loved his family and has known his family without beginning. There's never been a time when God did not know and love his family in the Lord Jesus Christ. The family didn't know it. We didn't know it. We were born into this world and we have to be taught. Isaiah 54:13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And in Galatians 4:4-6, he says, or just verse 6, he says, "And because ye are sons, already God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, as a spirit of adoption, whereby we have the heart and nature of the children of God." So, that is an introduction. Now I'd like to get down to our interest in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ and his people are one in the eye of law and justice of God. Look at John 14, John chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more." Now that is the world that cannot receive the Holy Spirit, from John 14:17, "the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Because of our covenant interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the children of God, all the children of the covenant, shall be certainly, absolutely, infallibly, made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ according to the purpose and will of God, and not of their own purpose and will, but according to the will and purpose of God. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. According to the will, the counsel and covenant of God, Christ Jesus and his people are one. And they're one in the Father. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I think it's verse 17. That's verse 22. Verse 21. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, that is, believers. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So our union in Christ and through Christ is in God. There is, in Christ Jesus, he is the God-man. And he fills that office in order to bring all the children of God to final glory in himself. Christ and his people are one in the eyes of God's law and justice. Therefore, the accomplishments of Christ are imputed to his people. That is, his righteousness is imputed to his people who are in him. From Galatians 1:4, we read, Galatians 1:3-4, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, we are in Christ according to the purpose and will of the triune Jehovah. In John 15:5, our Lord says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. The vine and the branches are one together. They make one plant. So both Jew and Gentiles are made one new man in Christ Jesus. The head and the body together are that one new man. And in 1 Corinthians 12:12, we'll go there and read that. First Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read verses 12 and 27. And you should read this. You should read this whole chapter. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ spiritual. The mystical body of Christ, that mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations past, but is now revealed by the gospel. So it has many members. There's members who are apostles, there are members who are pastors, there are members who are evangelists, there are members who are parishioners, and all the members don't hold the same office, and to every member, God, the Lord Jesus, gives grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, Ephesians 4:7. So we don't all have the same measure of faith. We don't all have the same measure of love. We don't all occupy the same place in the body. But we're all of the body. We're all in Christ Jesus. And that is the all-important thing. Now look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, that is the church, believers, and members in particular. There is a particular place in the body of Christ that every believer fills, and that believer is prepared to fill that spot, and that spot was prepared for that believer. It is not what God foreknew, but whom God foreknew in the covenant of grace. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. And we'll read verses 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, it doesn't say that all things work together for good to everybody. It doesn't say that at all. Although men like to quote it that way. But it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Not their purpose, but His purpose. Now, if God gave us our own purposes in the flesh as men born in this world, we never come to Christ, because the heart of the natural man, the carnal mind, is enmity. It's continual and utter hostility toward God. Carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he said, the natural man, what we are by nature, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. It takes the life given of the Holy Spirit for us to discern things of the Spirit. Those who are in Christ are partakers of that life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now our Lord said, I am the resurrection. We were born in this world in sin and death, and in time, God the Holy Spirit passes by us as the infant in Ezekiel 16:5, and says to His elect people, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live. And with the commandment, He imparts the life. He makes us to live, makes us to live. The Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father hath power in himself and raiseth the dead, even so hath he given the Son have power in himself, and he quickeneth, or he makes alive, whom he will. Now, because of all these things, because of our oneness with Christ from everlasting, and because it is according to the will of God the Father, and because it is brought about by the united love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, our life was ordained. Acts 13:48. Let me turn there and read that. Acts chapter 13. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, that is when they heard the gospel, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's what happens every time one of the children of God is brought under the sound of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're given life, and through that life they're made able to believe the gospel. And they do believe the gospel. That is an infallible truth. The call of the Holy Spirit is not a hit and miss thing. It's absolute sure that those whom he calls to life will receive that life that he freely gives. Now Christ's death was not for himself. Daniel 9:26. He said, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now our Lord Jesus Christ stood as the second man or the last Adam in public office, officiating in all that he did for his people. All that he did was not for himself, but for his people. Every thought he thought, every prayer he paid, all his obedience was all his people living vicariously in him as the substitute. He is the substitute of his people. And no less in his death. Galatians 2:20. I hope you'll turn there and read this with me. I'd like you to see it. I'd like you to see all these scriptures and ponder them. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says, and he's speaking in the room instead of all the children of the covenant of God, all believers. And every believer can have this testimony and should have this testimony. I am crucified with Christ. Believers can say, I am crucified with Christ. We were not nailed to that tree personally, but we were nailed on that tree in him who is our representative before God, who is our covenant head. All that he did in the judicature of God, or in the legal proceedings of God, in his judicial movements, all that Christ Jesus did, his members did in him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me by his Spirit. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus gives us his Spirit, and he lives and dwells in us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, so if we're crucified with Christ, then we're dead with Christ. Look at Romans 6:8. Romans 6:8. Now if we be dead with Christ, and all believers are, we believe that we shall live with him. Now what does it mean to be dead with Christ? Well, it means to be dead to the law. Romans 7:4 says, if you want to turn there, Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You were in Christ when his body died in the reckoning of God. You died in him. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now we are joined to, married to, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is his bride. He is the husband. And we are joined to him in that marital union. We were espoused to him in eternity. And that marriage will be consummated at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Our spiritual birth, we are introduced to the knowledge of it. We don't know anything about it until God teaches us. Thy children shall be taught of God. But then we believe when we're given life and faith, we believe and know that we're in Christ Jesus. Now, look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, if we're dead with Christ to the law, Romans 7:4 says we're dead to the law by the body of Christ, and if we're dead to the law, then we're dead to sin. And we're dead to sin because Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree and put them away from ever as far as the east is from the west. God's cast them behind his back into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against them again. And Hebrews 10:11 says, "And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." And he says in Romans 4:6, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I believe that's 4:8. But anyway, that's what he means here in Colossians 3:1. If you be risen with Christ, we were dead. If we are risen with Christ, if we've been made alive by the Holy Spirit, risen from spiritual death, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, I need to kind of clear this up. We were dead in sin in Adam when we were born into this world. At the new birth, we become dead to sin, being by the body of Christ. And in that we are dead to sin in Christ, we have risen with Christ according to the faith of the operation of God. According as we believe that God has delivered us from that spiritual death that we were born naturally into and delivered from in our birth of the Spirit. So we can be dead in sin or dead to sin. We're born into this world dead in sin, and we are dead to sin from the spiritual birth, and we are risen with Christ. And that's what he means here. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. That's what we're getting at here. You're dead to the law. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the curse. You're dead to all those things because God will not impute sin to his people. He just will not recognize it because they're in Christ and in him is no sin. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection." When he arose from the grave, he arose from the grave with all his seed in him, with all his members in him, with all his people in him, and in our covenant relation, we all arose with him. We all rose in that covenant head that God had given us from the foundation of the world. We experienced that. That happened before we were born. But we experienced the effect of that in our spiritual birth. When we're regenerated. Now, the children of God are first elected, chosen of God before the foundation of the world, and then redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and then they are called by the Holy Spirit. That's the offices of the three persons of the Godhead. God the Father is the elector, God the Son is the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit is the one who applies all that the Father has given us in Christ Jesus. So, our experiences of these things only come to us in time, though they were determined from the days of eternity. So in that we have experienced a resurrection in our new birth. Look at let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, 11. Now the Apostle Paul told us we were dead to sin, to the law, to death. So he says here in Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're a believer, you ought to. You should and you must. Reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin. Do we commit sin? Yes, we do. We're sinners. But does God impute sin to us? Absolutely not. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4:8 and Hebrews 8:11 and many other places in Scripture, he said, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Not in a legal way. We have no sin because the Lord Jesus Christ put all our sins away in his death. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, we were crucified in him, being one with him. And when he arose, we arose in him. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, well, let me back up here a little bit and read Romans 2, 3. I'm sorry, it's Ephesians 2, 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Covenantally. In the covenant. In the purpose and will of God. And in the mind of God. When Christ arose, all his members, all his seed, all his brethren, all the many sons, all the family of God arose in him. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection. He is that resurrection of his people. When he arose, all his people arose in him. And not only that, but he carried all his members, all his seed, all his family up to glory with him. Look at Hebrews 10:12. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, or this person, or this great high priest, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, still with all his members, all his seed, all his brethren, all his church and people, the family of God, all in him. Now look at Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, and we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. So, in the reckoning of God, it's finished. Our Lord Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17:4, I have finished, I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He came here to deliver his people, to save his people from their sins, and he did not fail. All whom he came here to save, he has, and they will be in glory with him. So, in view of that, and I'll rush through with what I want to say here, I'm going to last. In view of that, in view of the election of grace, in view of the covenant of grace, in view of the fact that God has determined who his people are from eternity past, what should you do as someone who possibly either believes yourself to be yet in sin, or maybe you're in doubt? Well, what you need to do is hear the preaching of the gospel. Not a gospel of works, because that's misery. That's up to you. It's based on what you do. But as you've just heard, the gospel of grace is based on what God has done, what God has purposed, and what God will do toward his people in Christ from everlasting. You need to find out the difference, and you'll only find that out by hearing the gospel preached. And you won't hear the true gospel listening to a false one. May God bless you. Hope you have a good week. Thank you.